Dear brethren and church family, we increasingly are living in an incredibly materialistic, aren't we, and image-obsessed culture nowadays, where we are constantly bombarded by images, daily, on every side. They're everywhere, as it were. As soon as we step out of the house, they're everywhere. They're on shop signs, they're all around us, as it were. They're on people's clothing and everything. We just cannot get away with these images. We live in an image-obsessed culture where the majority of our society no longer reveres the words of the living God and no longer takes heed of his precious commandments. It is also true to say that this image-obsessed mindset amongst the masses has very much infiltrated the mindset amongst the masses, as it were, and many professing Christians. One can really hardly tell the difference between someone who professes to be saved, to be converted, and someone who is lost, a worldling, as it were. Someone can hardly tell the difference nowadays in professing Christendom. Is this true of you or I? Is fitting into our image-obsessed culture, is fitting into our image-obsessed culture more important to you than fitting into Christ and his holy word? Our Hollywood ideals and fancies more important to you than the ideals found in Christ's most holy word in terms of how we live our lives? Or are we, as it were, being fitted into the image that our culture, our sinful culture, wants us to look and speak and act and live our lives? Well, for this we'll be considering the second holy commandment of God, which opposes the image of our sinful culture and what it would have us to fit into. God's holy commandment, the second one, says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." In other words, anything that is created. "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." He wants you all to himself, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Last week we considered, did we not, the first holy commandment of God, how the worshipping of any false god is forbidden with God. We must worship the one true eternal God. In today's sermon on the second commandment, let us consider that the worship of the one true eternal God, we are commanded, must not be done in a false manner. It must not be done in a false way. Let me just say that again, that the worship of the one true eternal God in the second commandment must not be done in a false manner, in a false way. It must be done aright. If it's not done according to the worship of the word of God, if we're not living our lives and worshipping God according to his word, it's will worship. We're worshipping God on our terms, according to what we think is right. And that is not worshipping God at all. And so with that in mind, let us consider the following 3 points, which I trust all here gathered today will take to heart this Lord's Day morning. Firstly, man's obsession with making images for himself and for that of the influence of others. Secondly, why a man would choose to serve graven images over his maker. And thirdly, an earnest remedy for man's idolatry, as it were, in this respect, if he would but hearken to the word of the living God. And so firstly, man's obsession with making to himself images for himself and for that of others. And so as I mentioned last week, God has designed and built us to worship for worship. We're designed and built for worship. Man must worship someone or something. That's what we're built for. And so, who are you worshiping with your heart and with your mind and with your soul that God has given you? God says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. God says these words. These are God's commandments. The question is, are you obsessed with our culture in making graven images to yourself in false worship of God, in worshipping God of the way you want to worship God, on your terms, or are you worshipping God according to truth? And that is, of course, according to his word. You see, much of professing Christianity now is worshipping God on their terms. I will worship God how I think is fit, thank you very much. I'll do what I want in terms of worship. I'll be a Christian on my terms. Well, that's not worshipping God according to the way he is prescribed. That is false worship. That is the worship of the devil, friends. We must worship God on his terms. Are you obsessed, friends, with God and worshipping him according to his word? You're either really obsessed with graven images, with yourself and what the world is telling you, obsessed with man's way of worshipping God, or you're obsessed with God and his word. You can never stop thinking about it. You love him. And so, friends, you see, many claim the latter, yet they show, don't they, the former. Take, for instance, the false religion of Catholicism. They, throughout the ages, have worshipped God in an unlawful way, in a false way, with the setting up and obsession of images of Christ, of course, that completely misrepresents him as a man of sorrows and suffering. And so they set up and obsess of these images and of the Virgin Mary and of crucifixes and many other such things which go contrary to Holy Scripture. And so they worship him in the wrong way. They don't worship him at all. God will never, ever accept such false image worship of himself, despite what they may say to justify this. Well, we're doing these things to help us to worship God. Well, God has said how we are to worship him, according to his word. In spirit, you have to be born again, and in truth, you have to worship God when you're truly converted, and you have been born of the Spirit of God. You can only truly worship God and have an interest in worshiping God according to his word. Else, you'll just want to worship God on your terms, with this false worship, you see. And so God will never, ever accept false image worship. Of course, we not only know that from God's words himself, yeah, we see that throughout all the true saints of old. Josiah, that renowned king, destroyed all the images and groves. He utterly destroyed them in his zeal for the Lord. He could not bear them. Hezekiah, of course, did the same, didn't he? All those images, despite what it cost him, it even took the brazen serpent, as it were, which was to point people to Christ and to show them their sin and their need of him. And he destroyed that because people even made good things into things to be lauded, as it were. The early true Christians chose rather to die than to have the Pope thrust upon them blasphemous images upon them. They chose not rather to suffer and to die, as it were, than to have these images upon them. And so to worship God by an image is not only unlawful in the sight of God, it is absurd, isn't it? It is absurd. for the workman is better than the work. And so, of course, many other such religions and peoples that practice such things are guilty of such image worship as well. And take, for instance, Hinduism in India, which comes to mind, with their adorning of cows and elephants with gold and jewels, as it were. As useful as those animals can be in helping them, they are worshipped, aren't they? These elephants and cows and many other such animals. While their children are starving to death of hunger, they are worshipping cows and these animals, friends. And truly the words of the psalmist ring true in this respect. In Psalm 97:7, confounded be all they that serve graven images. We are told that the way in which we are to worship is in spirit and in truth. A man must be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. Else, a man will worship God on his terms. Any man or woman is dead spiritually to the things of God. Our sin separates us from a holy God. We must be made spiritually alive. It's like it says in Ephesians, we're dead in trespasses and sins. So we must, if we truly want to worship God aright, we must worship Him in spirit. God is spirit. And so we must be born again. Else we'll just be trying to worship God on our terms. And that's the problem, isn't it? With much of professing Christianity nowadays. Many people within Christianity are not converted because they worship God on their terms. Well, I'll do these things. I'll worship God how I want to worship. I'll do things my way, like Frank Sinatra said. Well, that's not true. We do things according to the Word of God because the Holy Spirit teaches us to love the Word of God, the truth, to worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, dear brethren, you at this stage may be giving yourself a metaphorical pat on the back, as it were, and saying, I am no idolater in this respect, how you've explained to me this false worship of making and creating these images like the Roman Catholics do and like many of the heathen nations do. And for this, of course, you are to be applauded. However, those who have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them, that are governed by the Word of God, the truth, in worshipping God in spirit and in truth, do understand that the second commandment goes that much deeper and that much further than just creating things, outward things. Friends, this commandment does not only refer to the outward making of idols, but more so the inward gravening and creating of idols within our own very hearts by our own sinful imaginations and holding on to those things. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Anything that is created starts within the thought and the imagination, as it were. And so the reason why we see a culture and many worldly professing churches and Christians obsessed with images which are made by their own hands in false worship of the true God, and that, of course, of many other false gods, is because those graven images are first engraved and created and idolized and made and held to within the heart and mind in defiance against God. Hence the words of Genesis 6:5, in the days of Noah, it is said, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Those were the days of Noah. And increasingly, we are living in such days as those. We see all around us a culture obsessed with how I look to others, how I come across, a Hollywood ideal culture. We see this obsession, as it were. And notice the word imagination here includes the word image. Image, as a word. And we hold to these images, as it were. We dwell upon these images. And friends, this cannot be true of a true believer. We cannot dwell upon these images and think upon them. As we thought of one of our recent Bible studies, if you don't stop sin at the crack of the mind and heart, it will conceive, won't it? It will become sin, it will conceive itself. And will almost like itself become a person, take up our time like conceived an embryo, and like a child, like an Absalom, and become a grief to us, as it were, because we did not stop it at the imagination of the thoughts. We dwelt upon it. We gave it room, as it were. We did not repent at the crack of the dam wall, as it were, of the wall. We did not repair it before the flood of sin, before conceive and take up more room and time. Friends, we must understand the imagination of our hearts and our thoughts. The sins, if you're truly a Christian, that's where the battle is, stopping them there. People then, in the days of Noah, and people now bring upon God's judgment in their lives because they cease not in making and holding onto these sinful imaginations and thoughts that ought to be forsaken and repented of. When we have those sinful thoughts, because we are bombarded in our culture with many wicked things, what do we do? Do we just give in or kind of help these things? Yes, you can. You can repent and take them to the Lord, as it were. We don't keep on creating them and holding on to them, as it were. Dear friends, these things must be dealt with. And so this now brings us to our second point for today's sermon. And that is, secondly, why a man would choose to serve graven images over his maker. Why a man would choose to serve graven images over his maker. And the simple answer to that is, because that man or woman is not yet converted. If you let those sinful imaginations in your heart and mind just let rip, as it were, you're not converted. I can assuredly tell you in God's word that you are not converted if you let your sin, your imaginations of your heart just let rip. You are simply not converted. They love, as it were, the creature and entreat the creature, the created over the creator who is blessed forever. We learned early in the psalmist, didn't we, David, in 1 Kings 8, that it was in his heart to build a house for the name of the Lord God. It was, and it kept on saying, because it was in thine heart, because it was in thine heart. It was in David's heart, you see, by the Spirit of God, when he was plucked from the sheepcote, when he believed in the Messiah God and the Savior God, he received the Holy Spirit of God. It was in his heart to build a holy house for the Lord, a dedicated house for the Lord. Are our minds and our hearts dedicated to the Lord? Are we putting things before God? Are we creating sinful things and dwelling upon them in our heart? Do we hold to those things more than we hold to God? Or are we, dear friends, like David, making the house of our heart and mind a holy house, a holy heart unto the Lord, having close accounts to the Lord? The Lord God looks upon the heart. That's the matter. The matter, friends, it's a matter of the heart. He looks upon the heart. It isn't in our hearts to build a house for the name of the Lord God. And what a name! If we're truly Christians, what a name do we hold in our hearts and our minds? Or do we trash our minds and our hearts? Do we allow our hearts and our minds to be trashed and bombarded with these things? Do we say, well, it's okay for me to go to these places? It's okay for me to dress a certain way, to act a certain way, to do these things, to be a certain way? Do we trash our minds and our hearts, as it were? And and go our own way. I'll go the way which I want to go, thank you very much. I won't go the way of God's word and what God's word says for me to do. Well, that's trashing the minds. That's polluting and corrupting our minds and our hearts, friends. We must, if we're serious about this commandment, take it to heart, friends. But do we seek to furnish the house of our minds and our hearts with wholesome things according to the word of God? Or do we seek to go along with our culture within our hearts? You may not be an idolater outwardly in making statues of Mary and other such blasphemies outwardly in worship of God, but you can be a secret idolater, a secret image worshipper, by holding on to and creating in your imagination, in your heart, and holding on to those things, and secretly loving them more than the Lord God. Dear friends, there are many secret idolaters, cherishing those vanities of the mind instead of repenting of them and forsaking them and looking to Christ to renew the mind and the heart and to be born again. In what way, therefore, can sinful man make secretly graven images within his heart and serve them? Well, man can make himself into a graven image, can't he? We know this is true of Nebuchadnezzar. It was in his heart, wasn't it, to make a great statue. He wanted everyone to worship him. Do we not see that in our culture nowadays? People making a graven image of themselves, as it were. They spend inordinate time and affection upon how they look. Well, I want my body to be appealing to others, you see. I'll make my body into a graven image. I want to show how muscly I am for men. Or I want to appeal to opposite sex, as it were. I want to use my body as a lure, as it were. And so we can spend an inordinate time and affection upon how we look. And that's why we see so much obsession in our culture, don't we? So much obsession over our looks, beautifying ourselves with all the hair salons and gyms and beauticians. We live in a selfie age, don't we? I've got to look into the mirror every 5 minutes to see if I've got a grey hair or if I've got a wrinkle or if I'm still attractive, as it were, to the opposite sex. I don't want to lose the chase, as it were. Such things are vain, friends. Such things will perish, friends. Instead of beautifying the mind, the masses are beautifying the flesh, which are going to perish, friends. Solomon, of course, fell into this trap, didn't he? He was drawn, his heart was drawn away with strange women, ungodly women. His wisdom was renowned throughout the known world, and people came to it, but he gave his heart, didn't he? He was drawn away by these strange, ungodly women that took him away, that drew his heart away from the Lord God. How many countless millions of men have been drawn away by strange, ungodly women who care not for the things of God, who love not the things of God, who have a flirtatious spirit, who draw men with their eyes and how they look and how they live their life, draw men in, as it were. And men foolishly just give their hearts, as if they had no souls, to these images, you see. And once the image has been conceived in the heart, it's dwelt upon. And when that sin is conceived, dear friends, then it's in big trouble. It's harder to get rid of that sin when it's conceived in the heart, dear friends. How many millions of people are drawn into pornography and other wickedness, dear friends, because they do not take this commandment seriously? Graven images and imaginations are born out of the mind of a man and not God. They are therefore tellers of lies. They tell lies to you. They give an illusion of happiness, don't they? But they leave you completely sad. People that think, well, if I just have that person, or if I get that figure, as it were, trying to become like this particular look of actress, how many people have just ended up completely depressed and sad because they can never fit into the image that Hollywood wants, they want to fit in, dear friends. The images, great images, are tellers of lies. They give the illusion of happiness, but they'll end up making you completely sad. They'll give you an illusion of satisfaction. You'll be satisfied, I promise, if you give your heart and your affections and your time to these images. You'll be satisfied, but they leave you completely void, don't they? And empty of truth, and completely dissatisfied. They'll take you away from God like the prodigal son was taken away from his loving father. It was in his heart, wasn't it? It was in his imagination to go and spend his life. He thought it was better, greener on the other side. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he thought it was greener. Ah, look at those people, it looks like they're having such a great time. I'll go and join them. As it were, spent his life in ruinous living. It was in his heart on the other side, wasn't it? What happened? He ended up eating the pig's food with a stranger of that land. That's what happens. How many people in their youth and throughout their 20s and 30s give their hearts to these things? And they end up in their 40s, 50s, 60s hardened, embittered, as it were, resentful to the things of God. Things haven't turned out the way the images have promised. These graven images are tellers of lies, dear friends. Our image-obsessed society, like a giant metal press, seeks to press and mold you with a die, punching into you, into its image of how it wants you to be. Like a giant metal press with a sheet metal coming through it, pressing into you the way it wants you to be. Act, look, feel, where you want to go, everything about your mind. It wants to conform you to its image and not the image of your Maker. Many thousands, yea, hundreds of thousands of people every day are pressed into its hellish image and then cast straight into hell, friends, because they do not take heed of this word of God, the commandment of God. Will we here hearken to the word of the living God? God is a jealous God. He wants us all to himself. It is only right for him to want that. He made us. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's better for us than we do ourselves. He is a jealous God. He wants us all to himself. And rightly so. And he would not want his blood-bought wife to imagine and dwell upon the fake charm of a hireling, friends, or those who truly do not love and care for her soul. Such charmers, as appealing as they may be to the flesh, as it were, friends, they will chain her soul to the bed of hell, won't they? They will. Take heed, therefore, of idolatry and image worship of the heart and of the mind, not only for yourself, but for the influence that your conduct and your heart and mind, what you give it to, the influence it will have upon your children and your children's children, as the commandment solemnly warns us of. What you allow in your heart and your mind, if you do not take heed to this commandment, it will influence your children. It will leave a legacy to your children and their children and their children. As the command says, those that hate me, friends, show by giving their hearts to these things what will become of their children. Unless God has mercy upon them. And as a brand from the burning, plucks them up, as it were. And I know that there's some in this church that the Lord has done that. But don't do that. Don't give your hearts to these things. Take heed of the word of God. Our hearts and our minds by nature, of course, are all of us here. Our hearts and our minds by nature are prone to this sin, as dry wood takes to fire. We're prone to it, aren't we? And so this now brings us to our third and final consideration for today's sermon. And that is, thirdly, an earnest remedy for man's idolatry. An earnest remedy for man's idolatry. Dear friends, man's covetous heart and mind by nature is like an image factory. It churns out, doesn't it? Images and idols and ideals of which to serve at, quite frankly, an astonishing rate. Our hearts and minds are like an image factory. Our hearts by nature are the chinas of the world, aren't they? pumping out and creating cheap images and goods of which do not last, that have no lasting life to them, as it were, and of which we need to buy more of because they are soon perished in value. Oh, that's like a heart, isn't it? And how can we stop this false worship production of our hearts and our minds, friends? What is the remedy? How can we do this? Must we try to be a better person and give to charity and to starve ourselves of comforts and to try to reform ourselves? Or church attendance? Will that do? Well, dear friends, as good as some of those things are, all these things will really just make more idols in our hearts. They'll just make new images of which to worship. Pride, self-love, they'll just make new images. The production line will just change into a new image, won't it? My dear sinner friend, it is only when we look outside of our own sinful image-worshipping hearts and minds and that of other men's to the God-man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the very express image of who God is in the flesh. He is the express image of who God is. We must fit it to his image, must we not? We must look outside of our hearts to him and be renewed in his spirit and being born of the Holy Spirit of God. He was the only one tempted in all points and yet without sin. He never had a sinful imagination. He never engraved sinful passions and created images and held to them in his heart. He never did any of these things. He was the Lamb of God, the spotless, perfect, blemishless Lamb of God. We must, by faith, hold on to the Lamb of God, by faith, that our sins and our wickedness be transferred to him, as it were. We must, by faith, take hold upon the Lamb of God, the perfect, holy Lamb of God, without blemish, the innocent one. By faith, take hold of Christ this day. And he will give you a new heart. A heart that is like a set of David's, in thine heart, to build a house for the Lord. You can then build a holy house in your heart for the Lord and put those things that are pleasing to him. By faith, trust in his righteousness. What he's done on the cross of Calvary. On him satisfying the divine justice of God for you, being punished for you. The fire of God's righteous indignation being poured upon the Lamb of God and being punished in our stead. And that we are now free to serve him, to receive his Holy Spirit, and to live those lives, to receive faith and repentance, and repent of those sins at the thought of the image. He will give us a new heart and mind to truly worship him and take seriously his commandments and delight in them and to love them. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, you can only do this if you're truly born of God. If you don't delight in the commandments of God, you're not born of God. It's as simple as that. Yet why did he go to the cross of Calvary? He went to deal for your sin and my sin, friends. For all of it, once and for all, he was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You must repent at once and believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you for the forgiveness of sins. You must lay hold upon the Lamb of God by faith, that your sins are transferred to him. Like a believing Jew would have done in the Old Testament, if they would have believed in the Messiah and Christ, they would have laid hold upon the Lamb of God by faith. And the sins of that person would be transferred to the Lamb. And then the Lamb would have been, of course, disembowelled. And then the punishment would have been on the Lamb. And that person would have been there, looking upon the Lamb being butchered. This is because of my sin. This is how vile my sin is, that this Lamb has to be butchered and then consecrated and burnt with fire. Yes, that's how bad our sin is. Sin in the mind and the heart. It must be dealt with. Our sin is that bad that Christ himself, God himself, must have come to earth and to suffer and to take upon the fiery indignation of his Father upon sin of all those who would come to believe upon him. And then only, when you truly trust upon the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, then and then only can you truly love God how you ought to love him, in spirit and in truth, because you're born of the Spirit of God, because you then love the Word of God, you want to worship God aright, you don't want to trash your heart and your mind with filthy images, you don't want to give them room. We must do this, friends. Lay hold upon the Lamb of God. He will have mercy upon your soul. He has had mercy upon millions, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people over the years. And he will have mercy upon you if you take heed to the commandment. Forsake these sins. We all have them, the sins of the heart and mind. Forsake them and believe upon Christ, that his perfect sacrifice is able to cleanse you of all sin, and that he will give you a new heart and a new mind, as it were, to love him. You're renewed in his word. I hope and pray that we all take this commandment seriously this day. Amen.